It is 1:15.
Uh-huh.
Friday morning.
Definitely the first time we're doing this.
We're in Sydney Riggs's garage. The lights are dim.
It's hot.
We're recording a podcast. And
just
two
like Mark Maron.
Slightly obese ceramic pigs are staring at me. And I don't know why.
I'll put a picture of them in the link dump so y'all can just kind of revel in the horror that we're reveling in right now.
Sydney, explain your parents' choice of decor now.
They were gifts to my parents from my mom's brother. The larger one is one she got when I was born. And the second one is the one she got when my sister was born, and they are piggy banks.
I just don't understand how your mother could have indicated that she wanted a second one. I mean, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. Because I feel like this, they're in your garage for a reason, let's be honest.
They used to be in the living room. And I think...
Absolutely not.
I think... she was okay with getting a second one because it was like, oh, they can learn how to save money kind of thing. I don't know.
Sydney's trust fund is in one of those pigs. And she
Here's the
hasn't
thing that I hate
yet.
The most.
Ceramics?
Is the colored part of your eye the retina? The iris?
I think it's the iris.
Iris? It has indentations in it,
mm-hmm.
like there are striations in it, like a real eye.
Oh, it looks concave.
It is, but they also like have the texture that like a human iris has.
Stop.
They like went through a lot of effort to make these eyes as terrible as possible. You're right. They did have vision.
We see there are two different styles here from the first.
And they both vaguely seem racist.
If we're being honest, I agree. They don't look related. I can say that.
Same artist, though.
I want the first pig's dress, I think. It's a good dress.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the boat. The second outfit, however, I'm not sure how I feel about the fisherman's hat or the bucket hat with
overalls
and nothing underneath the
there's
overalls.
There's a chain.
Is that a chain? Or
yeah,
is
it
that...
is. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, it's a chain.
Yeah. Listen, science is a powerful thing.
Science and art
together
at last.
Coming
together.
Steam, baby. Well... Thanks, Sid, for this.
Thank you, Sydney.
We're gonna start the theme music. Let's go. This is Tangential, a podcast about the internet and the things that we do on it. Every week, Jules and I go through our internet search histories and talk about the things that we find the most interesting and talk about them for like an hour so you can listen to it. If you're listening to the show, thank you. Really appreciate it. Tell your friends, but we'll do more of that later. Jules, I think it is your turn to start this week.
It is.
Because you refused to do it last week.
Not true. I just suggested you go first. All right. So I've been getting eaten alive by bugs because it is summertime in Los Angeles. And I currently have one bug bite on my calf that is the size of an egg. And it used to be red and now it's brown.
The Jeffrey Fuentes story.
So our friend Jeffrey is known to have allergic reactions to any kind of mosquito bite. To me, it seems like this might have been a spider bite, and then another spider bit it. It's
Hell
that
yeah.
bad.
That's so metal.
I don't know. I just put a bunch of Benadryl cream on it, but I wasn't sure if I was doing it right. So I looked up how do I make a bug bite less red because this is hideous. Mm-hmm. And basically anything that came up was just put Neosporin or any kind of Benadryl on it and then ice it. But it hasn't gone down in any which way. So thank you, internet, for nothing.
Weird that the internet doctors weren't able to
help. Don't understand bugs. It's a different science, apparently. So that was the first thing that I looked up and helped me.
Have you considered amputation of just the skin around the bite?
I have considered it, but I think that the bug bite might go so deep as to... It might be on the other side if I start... I mean, amputation would solve that, but if I just start scooping the bug bite out, I just feel like I'd reach the other side of my leg. So, yes, amputation is the way to go in this
when
situation.
When I had meningitis...
It's that big.
And they needed to take out some of the flesh in my body that was dying. They have a hole puncher that basically... It's like a plunger... And they
put
their
puncher,
finger...
A whole puncher plunger?
So, like, they put their thumb through it and they pull it out to, like, prime it. Mm-hmm. And then they place it on your skin. And then on the inside, there are, like... Imagine a mouth, right? It opens up and down. It has teeth. They press it into your skin and they press the plunger down. And then that jaw, basically, bites into... your skin,
and then you don't have meningitis anymore.
And then and then they twist it, and then they pull it out, and then they have like a core of your human flesh.
I don't want to hear that story ever again. Thank you for sharing, though.
That's science.
Speaking of primer, the next thing that I looked up on the following day, because I was trying to cover up the bug bite in some shape or form, and I lost all of my makeup and.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I lost all of my makeup earlier this week, and it sucks because makeup's kind of expensive. And usually drugstore makeup, my skin's pretty sensitive, and it just doesn't work for it. I'll break out, and it's usually just not worth the time. I just prefer to have my brands because I know my skin won't react in a bad way. And so I had to go buy new makeup, and I was trying to figure out if I needed primer with BB cream to cover up my big my bug bite. What's
BB
primer?
Cream?
Well, BB cream is a tinted moisturizer. I forget what BB stands for. I looked it up a long time ago. CC cream is color corrector. That's for people with any kind of hyperpigmentation or even redness or even purple in their skin that they don't want to show up. CC cream is what's for you. BB cream is for people who don't like wearing foundation. And it's more of like, I wear it because there's SPF in it. It's my BB cream has SPF 40, which basically...
That's a good number, I think.
I think it is too. And it gives you a little bit of color so you don't look dead. Not that people who don't wear makeup look dead, but I do. And yeah. So do you know what primer is?
Yes.
So you know what primer is. For those who don't know what primer is, you put it on your face and it covers up any kind of dents, also known as pores, tiny, tiny dents that you have in your face. And it just makes you look like you have a smoother complexion. And it also keeps your makeup in place. Usually if you're going to wear a BB cream, you don't really bother with a primer because you're not doing a full face of makeup. But in order to cover up this bug bite, I thought it might help. Now, I know what you're saying. Why would you go through the effort of covering up a bug bite on
your
calf?
Yeah.
It is gigantic. I am so ashamed of it. I'm not even showing you my leg right now, but it's really, really bad.
That's a lot. BB cream, by the way, stands for blemish balm.
Blemish balm, there you go.
Or blemish base. Isn't it weird that... So, primer... For human faces.
Yeah.
Or for walls, it is the first thing you put up.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's similar with primer.
Yeah.
You can choose to put primer on afterwards.
Yeah, that's
to
what
set,
I was saying.
But I don't do that, yeah. And I don't think a lot of people do that.
Never either. Mind then.
Yeah.
I thought the order was
reversed. No, it's not flipped. It is not. You can do that, but
what am
it doesn't
I think?
Make sense
is am I thinking of setting spray? Is
or
that a
setting
thing?
Powder? Yeah. Okay,
that's what I was thinking of.
It's when you bake. Yeah.
Love to learn.
So that's what I looked up makeup wise. Beauty gurus didn't help me.
Wow. Betrayed by an entire genre of YouTube.com.
Thanks. Thanks, internet. This entire week. The next thing I looked up. Well, the whole week I've been doing research. Research. Not research at all. There's this English show called... Well, it's a British show called Love Island. And I wasn't aware of it until Cody Ko did a reaction video to one of his favorite YouTubers bashing Love Island. And I think this YouTube video is called In Defense of Love Island because it's a reality television show that he enjoys. Essentially, I'm assuming most of our audience.
We have three listeners in the UK.
Right. And the majority of our audience is from the US, right?
Yeah. And a huge Japanese contingent.
Still?
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Shouts to you.
Thanks for keeping with us. Anyway, there's the show in America called The Bachelor, and there are other shows related to it called The Bachelorette and The Bachelor in Paradise.
Someone call it a family of products.
That is what they are. The Bachelor in Paradise basically takes the losers of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and puts them on an island. And each week, if they're not coupled with someone, they're voted off of the island. I'm assuming that you know the premise of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. And I don't feel like going back into explaining what The Bachelor and The Bachelorette are.
They get a very sad man or a very sad woman and a bunch of other sad men or sad women. And then they date for a while, and then
they go on amazingly expensive trips.
Yeah.
The idea of The Bachelor in Paradise is that they stay on this one island, and they're forced to interact with each other each and every day. Each week, someone new comes onto the island and disrupts the harmony. the supposed harmony. And there's a bunch of drama, and it's awful, but it's amazing, because these are the people that had to be interesting enough from The Bachelor and The Bachelorette to be put on The Bachelor in Paradise. So Love Island kind of keeps to that kind of setup where you have couples. Well, you have the first episode I watched, essentially five girls are picked and then five guys were picked. There actually might have been five. There might have been six of each gender. And they're brought onto this island in Spain. They don't specify where, or maybe
Gibraltar.
And they're on this gigantic estate. They call it the villa, but it's Love Island. And the girls are all lined up, and then one at a time, men are brought out, and the girls have to step forward if they fancy the man. It's like real life Tinder, I suppose. And then they're paired off from there, and then, like The Bachelor in Paradise, each week someone new comes in and they can decide, the people on the island can decide if they want to hook up or recouple with that person. I think it's more interesting than The Bachelor in Paradise because there's so much that is not edited out because each day you are getting a new episode.
Yeah.
So you have the entire summer documented on this island. I've read that they have 27 cameras on that show, which is wild.
Editing
to me.
That show must be a mess.
That's the thing. I don't think they edit much. I was telling Sydney this earlier. It doesn't seem like they edit much. If you were to describe the show, I think it is the perfect combination of MTV's Are You the One and Sid, that's what it's called, right? Are You the One? And The Great British Bake Off, honestly.
Okay,
that's
here's
what
the thing
I
described
about, it as.
Except it doesn't just give you the happiness.
Oh, I think there's happiness in it. I don't know. There's a couple really good couples, and I think everyone on that show comes in with the mindset that, yes, they're going to get their feelings hurt, but also that each day, or it's not even each week, each day someone new might come in, and that they're not looking to get married, unlike The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, right, where you're looking to find a husband. They're just, they're younger. They're our age.
Yeah.
So they're not trying to, most of them aren't trying to get married. They're just looking for someone to make a connection with. So it's less serious. They take themselves less seriously, in my opinion. But that doesn't mean that it is itching for any kind of drama. There's definitely drama. And the narrator, in my opinion, is hilarious. But I'm sure lots of people think he's annoying and the worst. But I think he makes really, really good jokes and puns. At least compared to Chris Harrison.
Wow. Chris Harrison sucks.
So I've just been looking up a bunch of rumors concerning these people, and
what's the hot goss?
It has been a complete waste of my time. Okay. Just because everything's happening in real time, so there's no follow-up. You can't see where they are now,
right,
unlike The Bachelor and The Bachelor in Paradise, where you can look it up and see if they're still together as a couple. Everything is happening in real time.
Wow.
One of my favorite... Spoiler alert. One of my favorite characters. I don't know. Cast
their
characters?
Nope, characters.
Left. His name's Niall, and I couldn't find out why. Then I did find out why. It was just personal reasons, but I think he might have Asperger's, and that's why he left the show, just because he had a flare-up, and he wanted to be in the safety and space of his home.
Yeah, in a place where you're not, like, on a television program,
right, exactly,
for love. Yeah, I feel like
but
that's
I was sad because he was my favorite cast member. Okay, so that's it for Love Island. Check it out if you want to.
Where can people find it?
You can find it on Hulu. And I have to say, someone like Cody Ko, who's constantly commenting on the bullshit that is...
The internet?
Part of the internet and YouTube. For him to find something as trashy as Love Island entertaining, I think it's worth checking out, honestly. And I did, and I quite enjoy it. It's a guilty pleasure for sure. You're not getting anything out of it, but it's a fun summer thing to watch. The next thing that I was researching television-wise is Anne with the with an E. The second season came out last Friday.
We're looking at the splash screen.
We are,
because
I
right
was
now
showing Jeff the title sequence, but he didn't seem interested, so I stopped. I wasn't able to watch it or binge it all on the first day that it came out because Sherman Oaks was in a blackout from Friday, Saturday to Sunday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that meant that I had no air conditioning in my house. When Los Angeles was in record high heat, it was 115 degrees in the valley, and my home, which also has no insulation, had no air conditioning.
It's a hard RT. I was in the same boat.
It is. K-Town was also out of power. The Mid-Wilshire area, mainly Hancock Park, all out of power till Sunday.
Echo Park also was out.
It was a mess. Thing is, LADWP knew that this was going to happen. They had a whole year to prepare for summer. And each year, they do not care. They just don't care about anyone. And they know that people won't come at them with their receipts from their groceries, so they're not going to have to pay for any kind of damages. They don't care that people die of heat stroke.
Listen, it's rough.
Their Twitter stays active, but only towards people that are in the area that they're working on so they can give them good news.
Nice.
It's really annoying.
As a Southern California Edison customer, I can say that they're actually pretty good. They're fine.
All right.
When the power goes out, you call them and they're like, okay. And they come out and then they like text you and they're like, it'll take like 3 hours. And like 3 hours later, you have power again, and it's pretty cool.
I'm happy for you.
Thanks.
This weekend, my father was looking up how to create a solar-powered generator.
Huh.
So that's
going
where
off
my
the grid
weekend went, yeah. We just had to keep on finding stores to plug our phones in. That's what the weekend was, us trying to find coffee shops to plug our phones into. So yeah, I didn't get to watch Anne with an E. on Friday, but then I binged it all of Monday, and I absolutely adored it. And I was just trying to get a consensus of what people thought, because the first season I thought was very different, even though the first season of Anne with an E, it's based off of the Ellen Montgomery novel, novels, Anne of Green Gables, which take place in Avonlea, a place in Canada, specifically shot in Prince Edward Island. It's a really good show. It's about an orphan who's adopted by this older sister and brother. They're people that chose never to get married in their lives and are looking for a working hand to work on their farm. And they go to an orphanage and they ask for a boy, a strapping young lad, and they get this redheaded girl who can't shut up and is constantly talking about these things that she makes up. And she's constantly telling stories and just being wild. And I think she's a really great character and very free-spirited. I think that Anne with an E kind of breaks from canon in that it goes into some of the things in her past that could have caused post-traumatic stress. Anne was in an orphanage, which they call an asylum, for most of her life, and she was in and out of foster homes as well. And she was abused by everyone she came in contact with. And that's something that's glazed over in the books, but something that the series does a really good job of showing and being sensitive to. And it adds an element to Anne that isn't in the books, because the books are very much happy-go-lucky. Let's talk about an orphan who has an amazing life now, even though she has misadventures along the way. This adaptation of Anne of Green Gables accounts for someone's past. And kids are resilient, but they remember things. And I think that this story really, really takes the characters and makes them three-dimensional and believable. Lots of people don't like that. Lots of people liked the Anne of Green Gables where everything was happy and it was just a very linear story in which Anne was on a journey to success and turning her life around. But this Anne is very different. I think the second season is even better than the first season because it breaks further from canon and talks about issues about sexuality, race, and gender. And I personally felt like it wasn't forced at all, and that it flowed really well, and that there was this amazing storyline about Gilbert Blythe, who is Anne's love interest, so to speak, in the show. His father dies, and he decides to get on a steamer ship and head to Trinidad, and there's a whole storyline about that that was nowhere to be seen in the books, but just adds this amazing, amazing story. That leaves the island, which I was worried that people wouldn't like that at all because it is such an isolated story. I've been talking about this but for like 10 minutes straight, but I really like the show and I really suggest people to check it out. It's written by an entirely female writer's room, and I think that they really capture this voice of a young girl and in a way that's meaningful and impactful. And if I had a daughter now, I'd watch the show with her and hope she'd like it instead of making her read the books, honestly, because I think that Anne is kind of, she's not a 21st century Anne, but this Anne definitely is. So, yeah.
How
that's
fun.
That's my Anne with E tangent. What else did I look up? Oh, why don't I have freckles? That's something I looked up.
Why?
Yeah. Well, Anne has freckles. I was also thinking about freckles because of the bug bites, and I've just been on a skincare kick. But I was genuinely curious as to why I didn't have freckles. And it turns out that I just have an active MCIR gene, which gives me dark hair and slightly... My skin isn't dark, but it's not fair either. Essentially, if you have an inactive MCIR gene, you have fair skin and maybe reddish hair or hair with a reddish undertone, and you're more susceptible to freckles because you have melanocytes, which are clumps of melanin in your skin that are brought out by the sun, as opposed to getting an even tan, which is what I get in my skin. Yeah. So I'm just not genetically predisposed
to freckles.
Jeffrey, so Sydney,
Jeff and Sid are just passing a phone back and forth. What are you doing? What's happening over there?
Secrets aren't nice, guys.
So passing notes in class. What story?
The pig story?
Oh.
Well, I guess you have to tell this.
Now you have to tell the pig story. How'd you...
I was pretty much done with my stuff anyway.
Okay.
I don't have freckles.
You did a lot of science.
Here, Sid.
Yeah, Sid, please retell this.
I'm passing the mic.
So after I told the story, I felt like I told it very wrong, so I decided to text my mom and ask her what the story was, and
was it confirmed that you were very wrong?
Yeah.
Cool.
So one of them was painted, her brother painted for her, I think the bigger one. Okay. Actually, the smaller one makes more sense. So he gave it to her when she was little, but then she and her younger brother started fighting over it, and her younger brother broke it. So her older brother took it back.
Okay.
And then when I was born, he gave it back to her and then painted the other one for me.
So it's a family
curse.
I'm
just confused because how did they break it or pick it up? It is gigantic. The little one, I understand, but the big... Oh, the little one's the one that broke. Oh, they really liked it.
You keep saying that they painted, which means that he purchased unpainted.
I'm imagining versions. A chia pet of some sort. Yeah.
Like, are these like
chia?
Are they like terracotta colored underneath here, or like, is it just like, okay? Where do you?
Well, thank
you,
Sydney.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that. Really? Okay.
Nikki.
Yeah.
Away you go.
I hit a wall so hard. I'm so tired, y'all.
Well, it is 2 o'clock. What is it? What time is it now?
Summertime. It's our vacation.
1:43. I was only talking for like 20 minutes, right?
We're at 30 minutes.
Oh, sorry.
Why are you apologizing? All right.
They had to listen to all that paper wrestling. You're awful.
That doesn't sound too bad. Y'all heard of Thailand, the country?
Once or twice.
So they have caves there, and a handful of soccer boys and their coach got stuck in this cave for like 18 days because the cave system flooded and they couldn't. It was one of the situations where they walked in, then it started raining, and they were like, oh, we're gonna wait in here until the rain stops, and it rained so much that the cave flooded and they couldn't leave, and then not all the boys could swim, so they couldn't swim out. So then Thai military and the British military and a handful of American service people came to like science the boys out of this cave. They got them all out today, or early morning Thursday, huh?
Was it yes?
Or was it Wednesday?
I thought it was.
What day is it today? Today's Friday.
Friday.
So on Wednesday, they got all of them out. In the meantime, though, Grimes's boyfriend, Elon Musk, was like, I'm going to save these boys with a canister. So then he went out to Palisades High School, with some broken rocket parts, or not broken, but like some pieces of rocket parts for the SpaceX rockets. And he had like an oxygen tank that supplies oxygen to the fuel so the rocket can go into space. And he was like, oh, we'll just hollow one of these out, and then we'll put the kids inside, and then just drag the kids in this metal tube through the cave system. And everyone was like,
what?
No. This is a bad and dumb idea. And then he was like, I'm going to send them over. And everyone was like,
you do
that. Yeah, you do that. We're going to like actually do the thing that's going to get these kids out. And then as they started, he was also like, it's only going to take a couple of days for me to like for us to do the math and science required to like make sure it works. Send them out to Thailand so they can start moving the kids. He didn't send it until like they didn't get the tube until after they had taken a handful of the kids out of the cave already. And by that point, the Thai military was like, we don't want or need this. But Elon will still walk away from this with the credit for like doing the hard work.
I love how Elon genuinely thinks he can solve all of the world's problems.
He thinks he's Tony Stark.
He does, but he might be.
I mean, I guess, but like, at least here's the thing. Tony Stark, the character, makes the emotional, does like, has the emotional progress and the emotional arc where he stops being shitty and rich.
Is Grimes.
And has a lot of stuff. Is that Grimes' job? Is Grimes.
Is Grimes Pepper Potts?
No, because Pepper doesn't buy into the bullshit.
She doesn't, but she definitely aids in his character development.
But I don't think Grimes is the, like, the backbone that, like, tells Elon, hey, you're being dumb right now. Like, I don't think Grimes is that person.
Gwyneth Paltrow could.
Gwyneth definitely could. So we're going to break up Elon Musk and Grimes and then just get him with Gwyneth.
I could totally see that happening as a couple. Honestly, yeah. Gwen.
We'll just make some calls. If you know Gwyneth or Elon, if you know Elon, just cut the, just don't have him listen to the part we just did. The part afterwards, we're just going to match make. Yeah, they got him out of the cave, so that's cool. One of the kids in there was, like, quadlingual, and he was the only person in the cave who, like, spoke English, and the first people to come out of the water were Brits who didn't, because, like, obviously, it was an extremely hard dive. It was, like, the dive took, like, 4 or 5 hours to, like, get from the, like, the accessible part to get to land, to get to in the cave through the cave system took multiple hours. And there were no Thai divers that were skilled enough to like actually do that dive. One Navy SEAL, Thai Navy SEAL did die as he was like trying to
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was like attaching oxygen tanks along the way so they could refill. Obviously, because it's a 6 hour dive, you can't like carry 6 hours worth of oxygen. And he like died because he suffocated as he was putting these oxygen tanks on the line. But the first two divers to surface were British, and they obviously don't speak the language. So they were starting to like do the thing where you have to interact with a person who doesn't speak your language, which just means you say your words louder as if that's going to make them understand. And then the kid just responded in English and they were like, oh, okay. So yeah, they got out. A piece of legitimately good news, on this health sphere that we live on. I looked at MIDI controllers, which basically are just instruments that you can plug into a computer and, use a DAW, like, which I actually don't know what DAW means. I think it might be digital audio workstation. That's what DAW means. You can plug it into a DAW like GarageBand or Ableton or Logic, which is the one Apple makes, and like make music. And you can turn that, because it's not an instrument, you can turn those inputs into any noise that you have on the computer. And because I have gotten so far into the ukulele, I like kind of want to start messing around with music more. And I want to teach myself piano, kind of. And there are a lot of MIDI controllers that are just keyboards, and then they have a handful of like beat pads, like on they're just like beat pads, like you tap them and like you can program them with samples. So I started to like look into those because I didn't know how much they cost. They all cost around like $100. But then I found this thing called the Roly Seaboard, or Seaboard Roly. I don't know what the order is. It's basically a 35, or like they sell multiple. There are two sizes. Like I think there's a 35 and there's a 49, or those numbers might be wrong. There's a small one and a big one that has more keys or less keys. And you can press into the keys and basically squish the keys and like alter the way that the thing sound, like the note that you're playing sounds. And it looks really cool. In the beginning of the, like one of the early episodes of the show, I talked about the YouTube channel Red Beans Recording. And I completely forgot about that YouTube channel, but as I was doing my research, I found the video that he made with the Roly or the Seaboard or whatever. And that thing looks so cool. You could do so much with it. I'll put a little bit of some of the stuff that he made with it in here right now. It's very expensive though, so I won't be buying that. I'll just be buying a very basic one so I can pretend to make music.
You're really good at the ukulele now.
Thanks. I've like made actual progress in a way that like I didn't think I was going to. So that's fun. I just need to, the one thing I like don't, I basically have like the image of all the chords in my head, like getting that from being a thing in my brain to my fingers actually landing on those strings is like not 100%.
I mean, I've only been playing for like half a year.
Yeah, it's not been that long, but that's what I'm like. So like, sell, that's my project, at least for the summer. But I want to like learn how to read music. That's the one thing like I'm kind of bitter about that like we didn't do in high school.
Lots of musicians, I mean, I guess the joke is that you put music in front of a guitarist and they don't know what to do because guitarists don't traditionally read music. Yeah. It's not something that, my dad, for example, who studied music in college and studied jazz and classical music, he knows how to read music, but it's not something that he likes doing or is inclined to do. While someone as a pianist probably should know how to read music, and it's an instrument that's more I wouldn't say inclined, but typically for someone to feel accomplished as a pianist, they know how to read music very well and can sight read very well.
Yeah. That's like because the main input on the majority of these controllers is piano. You can then make that sound like, you can make those notes, make those chords sound like any instrument, but you do need to at least know what the fingering is for the piano before you can turn it into anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to like get to a point where if you like played a G chord, I could probably like figure out that, oh, that's G. But I don't know where the fingers go on the piano. It's like figuring that out is like the next thing I need to do before I start making bad music, that no one will listen to. But that's where we are.
Someone will listen to it because you'll probably plug it into this podcast.
Probably not.
You played the ukulele for this podcast.
That's true, and that was really bad, and I'm not going to do that again.
You were really excited about it. It was really cute.
The last thing for this week, for me, we're going to Vegas in 2 hours.
I'm so tired.
I'm so tired.
But we're not driving, Sydney is.
I feel bad. If you want to not drive for any chunk, I can drive because these two idiots
can't. You're both going
to
kill us. If you're tired right now.
We're going to Vegas in mere hours. And I was looking up slot machines because I don't actually know how those work. And the interesting version of this segment is I like go into the history of the slot machine and like I dug down into like where slot machines came from and how like in the 1800s or whatever people were like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if you could put. No, I did none of that. What I did do is find that in Japan they have just the coolest slot and pachinko machines, but they have a Metal Gear slot machine. There's a series of video games by Hideo Kojima called Metal Gear, Metal Gear Solid. But they have a Metal Gear Solid slot machine that kind of has a story. So the better you do in the, like, the more money you win, basically, and the longer that you sit at the machine, the more of the story you get, which is just a bonkers way to kind of approach this entirely random game. By putting like Metal Gear 3 into it, which is also like Metal Gear is like not it is not a game that maps easily onto slot machine. Like if you were thinking of mobile games that you'd be able to like map onto slot machines, you'd think of like Candy Crush, like that kind of makes sense, or like Bejeweled, also that makes sense. Metal Gear is like a 30 hour game, like a stealth action game where like none of the literally no overlap. So that was weird. I'll put a video of someone playing it, in the link dump, but yeah. Are you gonna gamble?
I mean, I think we have to do something.
Yeah. My plan is to just, like, take $15-$20 and then sit at a penny slot or a quarter slot for however long that is.
I've played blackjack before, never for money, but I know how the game works, at least.
I can't handle the emotional pressure of sitting at a table, yeah, with other people. Like that seems like a lot. Like, yeah. So that's why I'm not gonna do it. I'm like find a corner.
What
where
your mom said
are.
About beginner's luck and how we're
now, my mom is convinced that we're gonna win
pay
money.
Off all of our student loans.
Easy. Then we'd have to leave and we wouldn't be able to come back. If we won that much money, they'd make us leave.
Fine. That's okay with me. This is the single hopefully I will never
the only
be
time.
In as much debt as I am oh. now, which is a ridiculous claim and hope to have. But
I thought you were going to say this is the only time we'll ever be in Vegas.
Oh, well, maybe. Remains to be seen, honestly.
Oh, man.
You're saying they'd kick us out of Vegas, not just...
They'd kick us out of the casino and not let us into any other casinos.
Did you know that...
I think.
The old man... I think they call him old man in Pawn Stars... Oh,
died.
Was it Big Hoss? Yeah, he died.
Yeah, he did die. He was old. He died of old.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah.
That show sucks.
I don't know. I learned a lot from it.
Did you?
Yeah, about like what to buy and what not to buy and what people find interesting and what people don't. I thought it was interesting. I liked their book lady who would talk about...
Book lady was good.
She was a great lady. They were good.
Should we go to the Pawn Stars pawn shop?
I'm fine. I do not need to do that.
You don't want to see Chumlee?
I'm pretty sure he doesn't work there anymore.
What? No.
Yeah. Is that show still on the air?
Almost definitely. Name another show on the History Channel.
Finding
Vikings.
Oh. I think it's called Finding Bigfoot.
Sure.
I think
that's one of them.
It's Duck. Dynasty?
Duck Dynasty, I
or
think,
is
on
A&E.
A&E. Yeah. Yeah. Is that show still on?
No idea.
Who knows? If only there were some way to check. One way you could check, maybe, is by going to the internet. But instead of typing Duck Dynasty into that search bar, type in tangential.xyz, which is the website where you can find this show. You can also find me on Twitter by going, well, you actually can't. I'm still banned. But if I get unbanned and you're still listening to this, like later or whatever, twitter.com/godzilla. You can find Jules on Twitter at twitter.com/jsclemix. She still doesn't use it, but maybe. You can find the show on iTunes and Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you fine podcasts is where you can find this show. Tell your friends, tell your family. Big thanks to Louis Zong for letting us use Blackberry Jam off of the album Jam 2 as our theme song. Thank you, Louis. You can find all of his music at louiszong.bandcamp.com. That is in the description. And you can email us at tangentialpod@gmail.com. Please send us an email. There are a lot of you listening. Send an email out. We'd love to read it on the show. It can be about anything. Jules, got anything else?
I do not.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Okay.
And go to sleep for an hour and a half.
Yay.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.